keep talking.
No, you can now make me speak.
You are listening to Going Underground with Showtime Joshua.
And High Five Tom. This is a Lucha Underground podcast that can be heard on all podcast platforms from
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Welcome to Lucha Underground!
All right, what up, High Fivers? It's your boy, High Five Tom. And like I said, if you can't read the description, this is the introductory episode of the Going Underground podcast with my good friend, Mr. Showtime Josh. Josh, how the fuck are you tonight, my friend?
Joshua is doing lovely. How are you doing, Tom?
I am good. I'm good. We are actually recording this in person. We are actually staring at each other, not through a computer screen while we record this. But yeah, like I said, just a brief kind of synopsis of what we're doing here. Anyone that knows Tom in the real life knows that I've been wanting to do a podcast about Lucha Underground before I even want to do a fucking podcast. So it's finally coming to fruition. I don't know why, Josh. It took us so long, and of course we're going to have that Harley driving by on the recording. But,
well, you know, and as soon as you started talking to me about Ring of Honor Revelry and what you're doing with that, you know, it jumped to my mind right away. And, you know, this has been kind of a project that we've been tossing about for a while now.
Three years?
Yeah, we've been discussing it. So it's been something that's been in the works. I'm glad that we're finally getting to sit down and do it.
Yeah, and just kind of what's going to happen here. So obviously we are going to be recording. This will drop every first Tuesday of the month here on Visionaries Global Media. And listen, so it'll be the first Tuesday every month, like I just said. So we will be covering four episodes, or give or take. Sometimes it might be three, sometimes it might be five.
Yeah, and I would say 3 to 5, dependent. You know, when we're dealing with like an Ultima Lucha, you know, that might eat up a bit more time, and then clearly months with 5 weeks versus four, you know, that might play into it as well, I would think.
Yeah, stuff like that. Unless it, I mean, season one is 39 episodes, so obviously it's not evenly divisible by four.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's our podcast, and we're going to cover whatever fucking episodes we want to, so.
Yeah, if you don't like it, you can always watch ahead of where we're at, and then you'll know what the fuck's going on before we tell you.
Yeah, and listen, anybody, I did talk to my good friend Freed, so anyone that wants to watch along, I can supply a free link. We might be doing this on Amazon. I've been debating whether or not to purchase that. But yeah, listen, this will drop. Listen, yeah, every first Thursday. So this is a podcast.
First Tuesday.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's been a day.
It is late, folks. It is 12 minutes to 11 our time at night. So yeah, Tom's burning at the end of his candle here. So just bear with us here. You know, we'll make it through.
Which is pretty funny considering I'm a fucking night owl. So, you know, you think I, you know, function at this point.
You say that. I text you and then I get a text back at like 6:30 a.m. the next day. Like, oh, sorry, I fell asleep.
6:30? I'm never texting at 6:30 in the morning. I'm never up at 6:30. That's some crazy talk.
Fucking early bird here.
Yeah. Well, it's because when I go to bed, I charge my phone in the other room, and then I stop looking at it at a point. So yeah. That's like, if it's an emergency, someone will call.
Yeah.
But yeah, so unless, where was I talking about here? Yeah, so it's first Tuesday. Why am I having a brain fart? There's other things I want to discuss here. But yeah, Lucha Underground. Wow, this is really embarrassing.
Well, first off, I mean, for you, what got you into Lucha Underground? Like,
you're gonna interview me?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell? You're the one dropping the ball here. Somebody's gotta pick it up. We gotta get to the end zone, man. Come on.
All right, folks, I'm back. Sorry. Oof, brain fart. Yeah, so this is, I mean, it is a podcast, but this is a quote-unquote podcast series. It'll be between 30 and 40 episodes. We are just doing Lucha Underground. Like I said, the breadth of it. It's a total of, I think, 133 episodes.
137, I believe.
Something like that.
I can give you exact number here momentarily, as long as you feel.
But we will be doing, you know, some bonus. I'm sure we'll probably do a watch along. Some bonuses we're going to kind of figure out. But like we always say,
127.
Okay.
127.
Yeah, so this will probably run through July of 2027. So this will be about a 3-year run here. It's going to be awesome, I'm sure. And if I did not mention, so Josh is, if you do not listen to the Midwestern Wrestling Roundup, Josh is one of my main correspondents. Josh always hits me up for any shows that I may have missed. And also, Josh and I have done 2 great reviews. First of Carlito's Way. Second highest rated non-Ring of Honor Revelry podcast episode so far, by the way.
Really? Very cool.
Yeah, it's no offense, but my buddy Andy, when we did Hunt for October, was still first. Also, at least it's on SoundCloud.
Also, fun side note, you can hear me progressively get drunker during that episode. It was awesome. I went through a 30 rack.
Yeah.
I was having a time.
Because that was at your house. Because then we did Rafifi in person with the food.
Yeah. Rafifi we did in person. That was also an awesome one. I would definitely suggest you guys to check it out. It's a movie we had no fucking clue about, never heard of it, never seen it, and on a whim we're like, hey, let's do this, and it turned out to be fucking awesome.
Well, how did you find it? You brought it to me, remember?
So I brought it to you because I got a random Flipboard recommendation of the 10 best heist movies of all time, and that came in at number 1. And at the same time, I was doing a rewatch of a show that I absolutely loved. I know you just recently watched, called The Americans. And there is actually a specific episode in the final season of that show that is regarding this particular movie. So it's like, we want to do something different. Let's step way out of the comfort zone and not go with something we've watched 126 times. Let's walk into the fire blind and, you know, see how bad we get burned.
Yeah, a little film noir. It's in French. But yeah, great movie. Definitely recommend it. But as always, this podcast is not sponsored or endorsed by Liquid Death, but it is fueled by Liquid Death. I am currently drinking a cherry obituary, tied for my favorite flavor. And Josh has a peach flavored line of Kugels.
Because, you know, he wants his death liquid. I want mine drunk. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to do there, but.
Yeah. So, but like Josh had alluded to earlier, and listen, if you listen to any of my podcasts, you know, I took a pretty huge, substantial break from wrestling. I came back and. What, the picture?
Slide away from the drippage.
Oh. As we shout out to my buddy Tristan, who got Josh and I an autographed picture from, Cesar Duran from the Lucha Ground office.
Hey, people, it's really Dario Cueto.
Yeah, you know, it's Dario Cueto. So, but I was almost tripping on it. but listen, I got back into wrestling. I was caretaking in a place that actually had cable. A lot of my lack of wrestling was lack of access. But with cable, so obviously you start with Monday Night Raw. But like I said, this is the time Lucha Underground was airing on El Rey. So they were actually running advertisements on somewhere. I don't know if it was during Raw or not. So I had heard about it. And then it popped up on Netflix the first 2 seasons. And I started watching it. And I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? And actually, one of the first matches Faith ever watched with me all ever together was actually... Pentagon. Listen, I have my very little Pentagon figure here. The arms do come off, by the way, so if he breaks your arm, so
you can replace it.
Yeah, we did buy this from Pentagon himself. just throwing that out there. I do have photographic evidence. It was which we will cover at the end of season 1. I don't know if it was the last episode with Pentagon and Vampiro. Because then season 2, spoiler alert here, starts with, you know, Vampiro in the desert and whatnot. Because I think they might have...
I mean, we're going to cover that through our rewatches. I don't want to put it out of storyline because it's been a long time since I watched it, to be 100% honest with you. Like, that shit came out in 2014,
I think. It started in 14 or 13.
Yeah. So, yeah, the last time that I saw it would have been, you know, a decade ago.
Wow, 2014 is a decade ago.
Yeah. We're almost on the same timeline with your ROH Revelry. We're watching this shit back a decade later.
Oh, shit, yeah. Holy shit, yeah. Downtown. I mean, we'll pass it up. Like, I guess 2014 was a big year.
Yeah.
But yeah, then it said, you know, I never caught it, and I couldn't figure out the people I was staying with. I couldn't figure out their fucking TiVo. I am not very good with technology, so I could never tape it, and I could never figure out when it was on. But yeah, then it popped up on Netflix, and then, of course, it took it off, and I was only halfway through season 2. And it was on Tubi for a little while. Yeah. It's not on Tubi any longer. I check very often. No. But shout out to Tubi.
You can rent it from Amazon, or you can get bootleg copies, and that's about it.
Yeah. Listen, I did find a link, so you'll have to DM me for those details. Shout out to Kyle from the Apron Bump Podcast for hooking that up. Or you can buy a Shifty...
I found the DVDs online. Then right away, Google pops a warning on top of your fucking screen and says, "Hey, don't enter anything that you might love because your shit will be gone." So yeah, there's a Shifty site out there that offers it for a real reasonable price. But I mean, I don't got much to take, but I want to keep what I have.
You know, and like I said, and Josh and I do know someone that sells bootleg copies of it. But, you know, we're not going to mention that person. We're not going to blow up their spot.
We'll let that be. Let that dog lie.
Yeah, because one of us may have beef with that person. So we'll just put it out there because, you know, once again, it's our podcast. But, yeah, Lucha Underground, I was a big Robert Rodriguez fan, obviously, growing up watching Quentin Tarantino. And then, you know, obviously Desperado. And then who doesn't fucking love Machete? So I'm like, wrestling and fucking Robert Rodriguez and...
So your introduction was quite a bit different than mine. You stumbled across it through ads and you watched it on Netflix. Me personally, I've been watching it since day one. My cable subscriber happened to have El Rey Network, and I was watching, of all things, some cooking program that Robert Rodriguez was on, and he mentioned that he had this upcoming thing. I'm a huge Robert Rodriguez guy. You know, you brought up Quentin. You know, I've got beef with that. I think Robert Rodriguez is the far more talented of the two. Anyway, long story short, he says he's got this wrestling thing come out. I'm like, shit. I used to watch wrestling. I gave up on wrestling for a while there just because storylines had become so super stale. And it's kind of crazy because I missed some of what my friends like glory years and favorite times are. Like, I missed the entire CM Punk run and most of the John Cena run. Like, I never saw the Shield as a faction. I only saw them right after they split up. So like, I missed a good block, probably 10 years of wrestling. But Robert Rodriguez had this coming out, and I'm like, well, fuck it. Let me give it a shot. And like I say, I had El Rey Network. So I started watching it day one and was absolutely fucking floored by it. I'm like, this right here is what I want to be watching. This is top fucking notch, top flight. And a lot of people, and we'll discuss it throughout the upcoming episodes, a lot of these people are going to be like, oh, shit, he was there? Oh, shit, she was part of that cast? Like... It was crazy because a lot of these, you look around the wrestling landscape today, and most of your big names, big champions for all the big companies used to be on Lucha Underground. I mean, it's wild that they did not blow up way more than they did.
Yeah, and so we'll do some research in there. I know there's some shady business practice and everything, but do you have any idea what that cooking show was?
No, I want to say... I don't even know if it's even on TV anymore, but it's like Cooking with Madi or something like that. It was a very attractive Mexican chick that had a cooking show on like PBS, like, you know, just a little rinky dink channel. But, yeah. You know, I was flipping through channels like, oh, she's hot. Oh, that's Robert Rodriguez. Okay, I'll sit down and watch.
I may or may have to edit this out, but I'm going to try and find that cooking show and put that right here. Mm-hmm. So, listen, we may or may not be able to find that clip, so I will see what I can do. It'd be kind of fun to see how you found it. So, yeah, it's interesting. So, you were almost completely out of wrestling when Lucha Underground showed up?
Yeah. I would see the occasional Ring of Honor just because it was on the local, like, 18 or 24, like the UPN and CW networks on Saturday mornings at, like, noon. I would catch the occasional episode there. WWE, I would still watch like the big pay-per-views. Like, I would watch Royal Rumble and WrestleMania every year, but that was it. TNA had gotten weird. Like, they went away from the six-sided ring and let all their like real premier talent go. And then I kind of got lucky that I got back in at a good time, because like when I got into it, Lucha Underground was just starting and Fire Show. ROH was really, and you know, because of Revelry, like, I started watching ROH right around the time that you guys are covering right now. So that's kind of why I got into ROH as well. NXT, they just, like, really turned the corner with guys like Finn Balor and Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. This is even before Samoa Joe, you know. And Impact started kind of picking back up again with, like, EC3, where he went on the huge streak and was, like, the fucking man over there. So I got back into wrestling at a really, really good time, but it was all, you know, Lucha Underground is kind of what drew me back into it, and I'm just like, oh, well, let me check out more, and let me see more, and fuck it, I'll pay $10 a month for WWE Network. Oh, NXT's on here? Yeah, let me check out. Holy shit, this is better than WWE, you know?
Way better.
So like, I kind of got back into it at a really good time, especially considering that I was 100% out for, like I say, the better part of a decade. I mean, the last time that I saw CM Punk, he still had long hair and was doing that shit with his wrist. And, you know, like he wasn't even a straight edge society at that time. This is before that. And I missed his entire WWE run. So how long did that go? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people our age missed CM Punk. But then a lot of people our age are huge CM Punk fans. So it's
my buddy Cliff, like, that was his favorite, you know. For me, like, I, growing up, my favorite of all time has always been Bret Van Hart. So, like, to me, like, a guy like CM Punk just didn't do it for me. I mean, but then I came back in because, once again, Lucha Underground, NXT had some fire shit going with Finn Balor. Oh, I got to bring up one other person that really got me back into wrestling. Rest in peace, one of my favorites of all time, Bray Wyatt. The original Wyatt family gimmick with him being essentially a cult leader, I was fucking hooked. So yeah, you know, I had some good things going on in wrestling at that time, but Lucha Underground was the one that really first brought me back into it, you know.
Yeah, not to steer off course, but once again, unless it's our podcast for the fucking one, but Bret the Hitman Hart's autobiography is really, really good.
That is, you know, I've heard a wise man say that a couple of thousand times on
his podcast. Would you like to borrow it?
Yes, of course.
Okay, well, keep talking, so I'm going to go actually get this book while Josh is talking more about Lucha Underground.
We got time. You can wait on it. But, yeah, nonetheless, you know, with the Lucha Underground, it just being such a different thing with it being more cinematic. Like, it was story-driven, but not, like, we're going to have you stand there and talk on the mic for 15 minutes before we throw hands, like Monday Night Raw was doing. It was, they were going to show this cool little vignette, this cool little interaction, and then, boom, you're into fucking crazy action where you got guys doing triple moonsaults off the top of fucking buildings or off of rafters, you know. Like, it was just a whole different flavor than what we had seen before.
Yeah, and like I said, I wasn't really familiar with Lucha Libre for the most. I mean, obviously growing up, like I said, I was in a good time. It was, you know, the late 90s, so obviously the Rey Mysterios are starting to come through, and then obviously you got the Dean Malenkos and the Chris Benoits, and then you've got Juventud, you got Jushin Thunder Liger, so you got some of the smaller guys. So I was somewhat familiar with it, but yeah, same thing, like I said, it was just, and it was a couple podcasts I listened to, so shout out to former guests of this show, someone hopefully will be guesting on this show, my friend Travis. From the Knife Edge Chop podcast, they always talked about Lucha Underground, so they were doing Lucha Underground as part of their, like, weekly review. So,
okay, very cool.
Yeah, it does definitely kind of hit cult status at that point. But yeah, it showed up on Netflix. It was fucking money.
I just like, and I know that there has been a lot of issues with the company itself and with particular members of the roster. Like, there's definitely some shoot shit that has happened in their life that where you're just like, ooh, that's not a good person. But the product that they're putting out,
yeah,
I'm surprised that did not blow up even more mainstream than what it did. But I do think part of that is because Rodriguez was actually involved with it. He actually did production on it. Therefore, for him to want to keep it on what was his network actually made sense. But they definitely could have sold out back then. I mean, you see even right now they're trying to do a rebrand of it with MLW. If you guys are not aware, the MLW is essentially doing the same thing with some of the same people.
Yeah.
You're fucking crazy. If you don't think that Cesar Duran strikes a little bit of a resemblance to Dario Cueto, I mean, you're fucking crazy.
Well, and I mean, that whole meet and greet thing, it was in the Lucha Underground office and everything, so they did at least say that. So
right.
Yeah, because there's all, I mean, it's an ordeal, and so we'll do some research. Because I know the contracts were shitty. Like, if you were contracted with Lucha Underground, you couldn't wrestle anywhere else.
For some people, it wasn't for it wasn't for all, but it was for some. Yeah, they wanted some exclusivity, but there were still people because they were also affiliated with AAA.
Yeah,
and like there were some people that were able to bounce back and forth. I mean, hell, I mean, look at the whole Rosemary Sexy Star incident that happened in AAA.
Yeah,
that was during the Lucha Underground run, and that happened in AAA. You know, like I say, problematic. You know, person. Sexy Star was a great performer, but you can't do that shit.
Yeah. So yeah, it is crazy. I mean, we will definitely kind of chart, like, you know, some of the people that we'll see, and you know, a lot of people. You know, there's definitely one world champion that I know for sure that was on Lucha Underground, featured very heavily.
Just one?
Current? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe for world champion, but...
Well, so that's what, yeah.
Yeah, but other belts have definitely been around the waist of
a lot of belts. Well, bad, but I mean, like, as we speak right now.
But I'm saying, like, the roster's been everywhere. I mean...
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's another belt holder in New Japan, yeah.
I mean, Swerve is going to be in the main event tomorrow of Forbidden Door. Do you remember Killshot? I remember Killshot.
Yeah, he was just towards the very end, so...
No, Killshot had been around, like, damn near since the beginning.
Huh.
Yeah.
I can't remember him... So... Skinny. He looked really skinny back then.
Oh, well, I mean,
we'll get into
he's
that.
He's 10 years younger.
Yeah, that's true. So I'll say, I don't know if I was skinnier 10 years ago. I was definitely skinnier 20 years ago. But yeah, I mean, that's Lucha Underground. It was just something different. You know, like I said, I mean, I got back into WWE and I said, you know, it was cool. I said Paige was just starting to get ring and rum. I didn't hate Roman Reigns. Moxley was always a lot of fun. Punk was gone by the time I got out there. Not a Moxley guy?
Not a Moxley guy, not a Punk guy either.
You hit all the Midwest wrestlers to make it big, huh?
I mean, no, that's not true. But just...
as long as you don't have beef with Seth Rollins, so...
No, I don't. No, I don't. I'm actually good with Seth. I actually think that he's one of the best out there today.
Maybe the best ever. I'm not the best ever, but he's getting to that point.
I don't think he's in that conversation yet, but he still has plenty of time to go, and he could definitely get himself there.
Yeah.
But with Moxley, like, if you see a Moxley match, you've seen the next Moxley match. Like, they are very... And that's wrestling in general. They're all formulaic. Everybody's going to get their shit in. Everybody has their move set. Everybody's going to do their thing. But with him in particular, I kind of have always felt like, oh, I just saw this match. You know,
yeah.
It's not to take away from him. He's a great performer. I can never do what he does. He does what he does better than most. But some guys just draw you in. You become a fan. All right, look, I just brought up somebody, you know, that brought me back into wrestling. Jon Moxley, better at what he does, the way he does it, than Bray Wyatt was. But I love Bray Wyatt. He, to me, was just... more entertaining for me. He drew me in. I felt what he was doing more.
Yeah, I don't know how. So I was watching Bray Wyatt, and I know this is not Lucha Underground related, but what the fuck ever. I somehow found out his real name was Wyndham Rotunda, and I was a humongous, as a kid, I was a huge Mike Rotunda fan. I mean, the Varsity Club was the shit. I really liked Barry Windham. Obviously, in WWE, he was not as good. So that really kind of attracted me. Yeah, Bray Wyatt was... He was still doing the Hawaiian shirt and the fucking hat gimmick.
Dude, I fucking loved it. Like, when he was, like, the cult leader. That, to me, that was his best gimmick.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he kind of lost a little bit of steam when he went from being like cult leader to supernatural.
Yeah.
Didn't really love that, but I'm okay with it. Like, the new face of Fear Shit was fine. It's when all of a sudden, like, he was controlling Lightning and fighting the Undertaker and Kane, where I'm like, all right, now you're kind of taking something really cool and making it kind of hokey. But then he came back and reinvented again when he was working with somebody who I know you absolutely love to hate, Matt Hardy. They did some really cool shit together. And then The Fiend was awesome. Even this White Six thing that we're seeing now looks very, very awesome. I just sent like one aspect of like that entire build up. Anyway, I did bring up that you love to hate Matt Hardy. It's because, like, again, to give you some comparison, love the Hardy Boys. To me, they're one of my favorite tag teams all the time, and I know you hate the Hardy Boys.
I don't know. It was just like every kid I went to high school with looked like that, so. But it is what, the Lucha Underground, so that's kind of our origin story. Well, our separate origin stories.
Well, that's our introduction to Lucha Underground, but it's also kind of our introduction to each other. Tom and I both go to the same local indie show every fucking month for years. I've been going there since 2019. You've been going there since what, 17?
No, 19.
For you as well?
My first show back was, you know, I've told the story before, but my first show was the 420 Classic 2018 because Colt Cabana was on the show.
Okay.
But then we went back to Idaho. Now, obviously, it's a long trip. For our international listener, Idaho and Wisconsin are not close to each other.
No.
In Idaho, and for those that are geographically impaired, which many people are in the United States, Idaho and Iowa are not the same state. Just throwing that out there.
Kind of sad you need to like spell that out, but no, they're not.
It's a whole gimmick in Idaho. Like, they have shirts of us, like, yeah, we're not Iowa, or like blah blah. It's hilarious. So I was like, there's a lot of corn there in Idaho. I'm like,
no, there's a lot of potatoes.
There are potatoes, but also beautiful mountains. And I found my wife there. So
yeah, it's an unfortunate tale she'll have to tell sometime.
Yeah. But listen, yeah, and then I came back in 2000. So my first show of the streak was December 2018.
Okay,
yeah,
so when I started going to ICW in 2019, and even though we were both at the same show every month for quite a while, we might have like gave a head nod to each other or something like that, but we didn't interact at all, didn't know each other, didn't speak to each other until one day. This is, so when we started going to ICW, they were running out of La Pica Lounge, and then COVID happened, and La Pica Lounge could not run because the city restrictions wouldn't allow gatherings of people. So they moved over to West Dallas, and they started working out of
Tanner Paul Hall.
And we started going there, and then one show, because Tom would always sit in the front row over on the south side, and I would always sit in the front row on the west side. And one show, we both go there, and they're doing a little pre-show that was a benefit to get money for the promoter's father. So we both go in for the pre-show, and he's like, hey, you guys can have your normal seats, but for the pre-show, there's already people sitting there and shit. Just sit wherever. How about this? You two sit over there, and, you know, I'll get you back to your seats when the main show starts. So we're sitting there and, you know, just kind of, hey, what's up, man? You know, blah, 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 shooting the shit, you know, a little bit during the show. And then somebody comes out and they're, like, fighting like a luchador. And, like, holy shit, this dude looks like he's really trying to go Lucha Underground. Tom's like, I watched that too. And I'm like, really? And we basically spent the rest of the fucking...
Was it one?
I think it was Juan, the Crown Prince of Lucha, Juan Hernandez. Mm-hmm. We do miss him. We wish that he was back at ICW on Fleet. Kurt, if you could make that happen, that'd be awesome.
I do like Care Bears, but I miss my fucking Bear Kingdom.
Oh, dude, yeah, Juan and Oso, fucking amazing. Anyway, we're watching this and just brought up Lucha Underground, and he's like, oh, you watch that too? And we started chopping it up, talking about Lucha Underground for the rest of that pre-show, And then the rest is fucking history. All of a sudden, in every show, instead of one of us be on one side, one of us be on the other, now we're sitting, like, shit, when we go in there, half the time, my seat will say Tom plus one, half the time, like,
say Josh plus one.
So, you know, we're kind of, as Tom likes to say, we're basically attached at the hip now.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't hurt the fact that you live, like, 8 blocks away.
This was another fun fact to learn. So me personally, I had a friend that had a unfortunate circumstance while behind the wheel of a vehicle. So I made the decision at that time, if I'm going anywhere where there's the possibility I might, you know, imbibe on some alcohol, I'm not going to be driving at all because I'm never going through that shit. There will be no DUIs in my storyline. You don't need a knock on wood. It's a absolute, it will not happen. So anyway, I started catching the bus to shows, and after Tom and I have been talking for a little bit, you know, he's like, oh, well, you know, I'll give you a ride home after a show if you want. Where do you live? And I tell him where I live, and he's like, dude, I'm right here, and literally it's 4 minutes away. We live 4 minutes apart from each other.
By car.
Yeah, yeah, and on foot it's 10 minutes, so...
I don't walk that fast.
I walk a bit faster than you, plus I cut through the park over there. So, yeah, while I was coming over cat-sitting for you and feeding your cats, it was a 10-minute walk.
Huh.
So, yeah. But, yeah, so we find out small world shit that we live very close, and then we find out some more small world shit. Tom's birthday comes up, and his wife and I are like, hey, so let's both go up there with him and, you know, give him some dinner at the show for, like, a little birthday present. Because at that time, one of the shows we were going to was actually hosted of a Mexican restaurant.
Buena Vista?
And banquet hall, Buena Vista, exactly. So Tom and Faith are like, well, hey, we'll pick you up. I'm like, all right, cool. I just got off of work. I was still wearing my work clothes. And Tom's looking like, hey, wait, so you work there? You work at Auto Force? Do you know a guy named Kevin?
No, I just asked you where he worked. I'm like, so where do you work?
Yeah, yeah. So I told him where. He's like, oh, do you know a guy named Kevin? I'm like, yeah. He's actually the guy that trained me. Me and Kevin are really tight. We're good friends. He's like, oh, that's really crazy because that's my brother. I'm like, dude,
wait a minute, are you the brother-in-law? I'm like, wait, are you the wrestling guy?
Yeah, because for a couple of years, my buddy Miguel and I were going to see shows together, and we would always talk to this dude Kevin at work, and he's like, oh yeah, my brother goes to sell shows too. You know, I wonder if you guys know him. And Kevin is an older guy, to be nice. He's got me by 30 years, so he's an older guy. So Miguel and I would always go to shows.
Still beat both of our asses, by the way.
So Miguel and I would always go to shows, and we look around in the crowd, and we would try and peg and think, and who's Kevin's brother? And we thought that it was this guy who recently passed away. Rest in peace, Blue. Because he was like a mid-70s guy. So we always thought it was that dude. And then when Tom all of a sudden was like, no shit, that's my brother. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I've been, at this point in time, I've been rolling with you to the shows for several months. Mm-hmm. And we had not even pieced that bit together. Just crazy small world.
Well, and it's funny because, okay, you thought I was a lot older being Kevin's brother and all. And listen, just full disclosure. So Kevin is, for all intents and purposes, married to my sister. Mm-hmm. My sister's 10 years older. Kevin's 10 years, blah, 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 blah. But I knew where Kevin worked and kind of some of the people that worked there. Mm-hmm. So he always said, yeah, some friends of mine go to 76th in Oklahoma. I'm like, okay. So I was always going to the crowd, kind of looking around for like,
who looks like they would work with him?
Yeah, how do I put this tactfully? We're in Wisconsin, so it just is what it is. So I was kind of looking for a bit more, let's just say, redneckish.
Yeah, so I'm Puerto Rican. My guy Miguel is Puerto Rican and Mexican. We both grew up in the inner city. So, like, yeah, we weren't the crowd that he was expecting, but... don't let people listening get to Swiss, and Milwaukee is a major city. It is pretty hood where, like, I came up. It is not like he was expecting more so, like, where you came up, like, area, like, Slinger.
Well, the people that give West Dallas the West Alec name.
Yeah.
The big pickup trucks.
There definitely are some of those still.
So it was just funny because you're
I still want people to think that, because I used to hear this shit all the time. I'd go out to the East Coast. People were like, oh, don't y'all have, like, farms and barns and shit? Like, yeah, there are farms and barns in Wisconsin. Come over to 34th and tell me where the farms and barns are.
Well, you go to the East Coast, everyone thinks the big city, too. But then you forget there's farms and barns. All I mean, there's more farms and barns in New York than there are skyscrapers.
Exactly, but everybody automatically associates it. It's like the Idaho-Iowa thing. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Most people know where New York is, and some people know where Wisconsin is. But, yeah, it was just funny. I was driving along, and I'm just like, you're like, wait, are you the brother-in-law? And I'm like, wait, are you the it was one of those fucking moments. It was just like, yeah. So, I mean, to the point where, like, yeah, I mean, we were hoping to have Josh over for, you know, for family outings. He takes care of, like, our cats while we're gone, stuff like that. So, yeah, like Josh said, we're pretty much attached to the hip. And I don't know why we didn't start doing this sooner. That is more on me. But I've been wanting to do this for a while. And so Josh has done some great appearances on the show. So it's timely. We fucking...
It's hard to make it happen. Yeah, fuck it.
So I said this podcast, like I said, mentioned earlier, is sponsored by Liquid Death, or not sponsored, sorry, it Fuel.
You cannot say it's sponsored because they can get mad at you.
Yes, they could. But I do also want to shout out, obviously, my better half, Faith, had bought me my Eat Like a Luchador cookbook for a while. So in addition to Lucha Underground podcast, we will be trying meals out, and tonight we had Pentagon's fajitas.
Yes, Pentagon Jr. Had a chicken and bell pepper fajita recipe in there. It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it was so easy, even I couldn't fuck it up. So I do want to shout out, so I will be putting the link. If you want to check out a lot of great recipes in that book, but I figured, obviously, it's a great opportunity, and shout out to my wife. And ironically enough, my sister-in-law, Jennifer, also bought us a copy of that book, which I think we did sell or donated to.
I think she said that it was Christmas gift to somebody.
So it was just kind of funny how that works out. So we'll be doing that too. So we just had the fajitas, so we'll be trying some other. Maybe we'll just stick with the fajitas. So
No, we gotta try different stuff through there. You look through there. There's a ton of awesome recipes. You know, we're gonna have to try different shit out of that book.
Yeah, unless maybe I'll break out the tequila, but I think my tequila days are over. But I do still have a very fancy bottle of tequila I've not opened. But
there we go. Yeah, we could cause some trouble. You've heard me drunk on a podcast before. I'll do it.
That's true. I have not done that yet. So one of these days,
the next month, I'm gonna have to bring like a fucking 30 rack of Modelo or something. We'll just go ham on it.
Yeah, I mean, three beers.
Your poor wife is gonna have to fish you out of the bathtub tomorrow morning.
Nah. But yeah, listen. I mean, we're not sure where we're. Obviously, we'll be covering episodes. We'll be doing some bonus. We'll have some guests. I do want to shout out my good friend Brunner. I know Lucha Underground was a big thing for him too. Has a pretty interesting story that we'll get him on to tell. Lucha Underground really kind of solidified. I'll paraphrase here. Really kind of solidified his Wednesday night ritual of wrestling that AEW obviously continued.
Very cool.
You know, and I know Faith and I wanted, we were trying to get down to the temple in Boyle Heights, but unfortunately they stopped air shooting before.
That needs to be our penultimate episode. We actually have to record from the fucking Boyle Heights facility.
Yeah, I wonder if that building's still there. So, yeah, one of my favorites and a internet friend of mine, Kevin Gill, was in a couple of those episodes. You can see him all over the place. So, so we'll be covering Lucha Underground from front to back. I said, I have only seen halfway through season two. And unfortunately, some of the people, I said, one person that was really highlighted last time I was watching was the aforementioned Joey Ryan. So
again, I mentioned people that have, you know, a couple of like dots on their past. That being said, hot take, really good fucking performer. I really
enjoyed.
Separate the man from the magic. Like, definitely, you need to understand, not a happy, shiny, good person. But holy fuck, he could go. He was a great performer. I found him to be extremely entertaining. Yeah. More so after he was no longer with Lucha Underground. The shit he was doing with Impact was golden. I thought that was great. I thought he was going to blow up, but then he shot himself in the dick. You know?
Right, literally.
You can't be out here cheddar bobbing yourself like that.
Yeah, I mean, the World's Cutest Tag Team that he had with Candice LeRae is one of my huge, you know, things getting me back into indie wrestling, that match they had with the Young Bucks.
With the Young Bucks? Cool. Oh, speaking of which, do you know that the Young Bucks were originally offered a contract with Lucha Underground and turned them down?
I can see that.
Yeah, they turned them down. Could you imagine them being on a show like Lucha Underground? They would have been fucking epic there.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. Yeah, so we'll do some research. I'm sure we'll probably do some watch-alongs. We might do like a Where Are They Now segment or something like that.
That would be cool. Every episode just have a Where Are They Now.
Because, I mean, it's kind of a spoiler. And I've been pretty fortunate. I've met, and Faith had a really good idea. To have everyone sign the DVDs, but I mean, like we said earlier, you can't get it on fucking DVD. But one of her first favorite wrestlers, yeah, she got to meet, you know, she got to hug Phoenix, you know. So we've met Mil Muertes, we've met Matanza. Shout out to Matanza. I know it's not happening until season two.
The monster Matanza.
The person that played Matanza was doing something on Facebook, said, "Hey, I'm selling all my t-shirts," and I'm like, "All right, I'll buy all of them." He's like, "You want something? Me throw something in here? Well, like, will you autograph a picture as Matanza?" So he sent one addressed to Faith, so we have one somewhere.
Very cool. Very cool.
So yeah.
Do we want to pull back the curtain and let people know who Matanza is?
It's my second favorite wrestler of all time. Not Bret Hart is also my favorite wrestler of all time.
That's why we get along, people.
Yeah. Stay tuned for Shawn Michaels versus Bret Hart watch along here in the near future. But Jeff Cobb.
Yeah.
Big fan, so I met Jeff Cobb a couple times, so I was glad I was a little nervous because he was a heel at AAW, and, like, you always kind of wonder, unless it was my first real indie show, so I'm like, so if he's a heel, is he going to be, like, an asshole, you know, because some people don't turn it off, you know, because part of the gimmick. Yeah. MJF, a couple times I've seen MJF, he was, you know, and it worked. That motherfucker, he could get people to get, you know, he's like, "Come over here, asshole, give me $20 for my autograph," and, like, just cocking off the people.
So why met him, I had a very different experience. Why met him, he was actually nice as shit to me.
Nice.
I met him at MLW taping in Waukesha, and he was actually really fucking nice to me there. The person who was an absolute prick, but I loved it, thought was hilarious. He played completely into his character, and because he's an indie guy, nobody listening probably has even heard of him other than you. Frank the Clown played his fucking role. Frank the Clown was fucking awesome. Very entertaining.
He was in MLW?
No, Frank the Clown, I saw Warrior Wrestling.
Oh, okay. I was going to say,
MLW was for MJF.
Right, yeah,
But why met Frank the Clown at Warrior? He completely played in character and was great. He's also, I'm pretty sure he's married to or engaged to Noelle Foley. So, I mean, he's not doing bad for himself.
No, he's not.
And anybody that doesn't know who Frank the Clown is, check him out. Very entertaining.
Well, Sammy Callahan was in Lucha Underground, right?
He was also at the MLW show.
Right, I know what I was just
talking about.
But he was in Lucha Underground, right?
Short term, I believe. 90% sure.
Because after he got let go from NXT and then...
Yeah, yeah, like in between. I'm pretty sure he was there in one of the steps along the way.
Yeah.
But I don't want to say I'm 100% sure because, again, people, it's been 10 years since I watched. I definitely want to do a rewatch and refresher. But yeah, you know, like, I'm not sure about you. For me, that was actually my introduction to Jeff Cobb, to bring it back to where we were. That was my introduction to Jeff Cobb. I had not seen him elsewhere before because, like I said, I was out wrestling for a good chunk of time at that time.
Well, he floundered for a long time. He didn't really break out till like 13, 14, so.
Well, and that started in 14. Or, right. Well, he started with them 15. Either 14 or 15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that might have been like his breakout role even. Yeah. I don't know. Were you aware of him or were you a fan of him before?
Kind of.
Lucha Underground?
I had heard the name, the aforementioned Kevin Gill. I heard he was on there a couple times. So I was a big fan of his before I even saw any of his matches.
Okay.
So I was familiar-ish. Like I said, you know, I'm kind of learning navigating my waters, you know, trying to figure out how to find. Because obviously, you know, I mean, even 10 years ago, you know, indie matches on the internet were a little tougher to find if you didn't know exactly what you were looking for.
That's for sure.
you know. But it was cool because AAW, for some reason, had a like an agreement with Lucha Underground, so a lot of those guys came through. Obviously, you know, Strange Circle came through a lot. You know, it's, you know, the Lucha Brothers, you know, Jeff Cobb.
So you just mentioned a couple of others where my first time ever seeing them, my first introduction to them. Swerve Strickland, he was Killshot in Lucha Underground. That was my introduction to him. Lucha Bros, Pentagon Jr., who I absolutely love. The guy that at that point in time was probably, if not my favorite wrestler, maybe my second favorite, but at that time when Lucha Underground was going, holy fuck, I fell in love with Prince Puma. Never knew who Ricochet was until later when I started seeing him in New Japan.
And it was funny because, like I said, I always heard Ricochet was really ugly, so that's why they put him under a mask.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's just one of those things. I'm like, oh.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, I think, too, I'm like, are we talking about the same person? He's a pretty good-looking dude. So I'm like, yeah. It was one of those weird, you know, urban myths. You know, you just kind of hear things, sure, sure. And maybe it was just someone's opinion, so...
But, like, Lucha Underground, though, was just my introduction to him. I had never seen him before. I mean, fuck, we've talked about this before in the past. You said if we could have people, like, come on and do a watch-along with us, you'd want Jeff Cobb. To me, Trevor Mann, Prince Puma, Ricochet, whatever the hell you want to call him, he's on my short list of two. I want him, and I want Ivelisse Velez, another person. I at least knew her because of WWE, because of Tough Enough. You know, unfortunate that girl has never gotten the shot she deserves. She's such a great fucking performer. Yeah, she was on Tough Enough back in the day, or one of them like Tough Enough type shows. Like that's kind of like her origin, you know. But yeah, unfortunately, she never got the fucking love she deserved anywhere. But yeah, she was a big part of Lucha Underground as well. She held gold there, you know. So. Would be really cool to get some of those people on.
Yeah.
Do the shit with us. Do a watch along with us. It won't hurt. Hell, Ricochet, you about to be out of contract anyway. Come hang out with your boys.
Yeah. And listen, and for those that don't know, I've mentioned this before. Obviously, Chico the Cat is named after Chavo Guerrero.
There you go. Who was also very, very involved with the show in its entirety. He did a lot of production with Robert Rodriguez, a lot of storyline shit like
that. Yeah, I think that's another place where I kind of heard about Lucha Underground. Too, because he was on some podcasts and stuff, and obviously I knew the Guerrero name.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a little bit known in the industry, just a little bit.
Well, I mean,
people have heard of like Eddie.
I mean, like I said, when I left wrestling, Eddie, I mean, because when Eddie passed, I was like, okay, I mean, yeah, that's sad. I did, you know, I missed his whole big run. You know, so
you miss Latino Heat and, you know, we lie, we cheat, we steal, and
you know, so I was just like, I mean, it's always sad when, you know, a performer, especially that young, because he was what, 35?
He definitely went far too young. Unfortunately, that is usually the tragic case with these guys.
So yeah, and let's see, I mean, Chavo's been to Buena Vista, you know, he's wrestled, so yeah, it's gonna be a fun ride, folks. Listen, it'll be between, you know, 30 and 40 episodes. We'll kind of see. Like I said, you know, the watch alongs, probably Josh and I'll probably get together with some of the boys or girls, you know, some of the high fivers who want to do some matches, or we'll figure something out. You know, I met Brian Cage. Like I said, unfortunately, every time I'll probably get some shit for this, but every time I met him, he gradually got more and more agitated. Because first time I met him, he was fucking great. He was super nice. Like I said, I gave him an extra like $10 for a shirt. He was so grateful. And then last time I met him, he couldn't fucking care less. But
I mean, you know? I mean, not to be that guy, but I mean, I would take a Weapon X if it meant I could get a little closer to Melissa Santos. Just saying, he's a lucky man. He has no reason to be angry at all.
So, well, I mean, maybe he's angry because he's not with his wife, you know, because he's at a shindy show. But, you know, met Willie Mack.
Dude, I love Willie Mack. Oh,
like another guy, you look at him. One thing, you know, don't judge a book by your cover. Like he's
built like us, but he does standing fucking moonsaults.
Yeah, and it's fucking bananas. Super nice guy. So, we met Johnny Mundo, and so we met Taya Valkyrie. Faith really liked Taya. She was super nice to her. So,
I don't know why, but people seem to like talk shit about her. She, like, I've never seen anything negative out of her. She's always super sweet. Like, but people just, for whatever reason, like, she's one of those that just gets unnecessarily attacked. Like, you'll see people post shit on Twitter, and it's like, are y'all fucking crazy? Look at her. Look at what she's doing. Look at her performances. You're fucking nuts to have anything negative to say about that woman.
Yeah, so, well, speaking of Twitter, so we will be getting some social media out here eventually. I mean, I know I've been doing Ring of Honor over 2.5 years, and I still don't have a Facebook page for it, but but we'll be doing some, you know, we've got a logo that's in the works, and we'll make sure that everyone can find out if you need a logo where you can also get that logo. But yeah, it's going to be a fun ride. You know, we'll see where it takes us. Maybe we don't do anything, the things we said, and we do something completely different. You know, it's pretty organic, so just do whatever the fuck you want, but...
Yeah, let's just have some fun, talk about some very cool wrestling. Hopefully we get a couple people to listen along the way, and if they haven't checked out, be like, oh shit, maybe we should give this a follow, give this a look. If any of y'all are listening out there and you have any ideas for the show, any input, or just want to contribute or be on, definitely reach out to us. Tom, I'm sure we'll have all the links up
when you can
in the show notes, and you'll be able to get in touch with us directly, and you know, hopefully everybody enjoys. And
yeah,
like I say, if anybody wants to get on board, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, and listen, anyone that's interested, listen, I can send you it's a reputable link, but borderline. So if you want to follow along, so
it does help if you speak a different language.
Yeah. So, so this will drop every first Tuesday of the month. So yeah, this will be dropping July 2nd. Our next one will be August 6th. I think we talked about.
Yeah. So that one we were planning on recording July 27th, was it? But you got to move it out because the first Tuesday falls.
Yeah.
The following week, yeah. So
yeah.
So yeah. Nonetheless, we'll hash all that out. Just be looking for us the second Tuesday of every month, and we should be there to get you through your day. You know, hopefully we can burn a little bit of your time if you're like us and you just need something to listen to while you're going through your daily grind.
Yeah. So well, thank you, High Fivers. We will talk to. Yeah, we will see everyone. Have a great July, and we will talk to everybody next August.
Great, good.
This August, not next August.
Yeah, bro. We don't need to be like, damn, we gotta wait till August of 25.
Fuck grammar. Grammar is not my specialty, okay? So this coming August of 2024 will be our next episode. So
we've always said you're funny and it's not just your looks.
That's very true. So we'll talk to everybody next week or next. We'll talk to everybody later.
Peace out.
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.